We will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight, verses 1 through 10. All right. Thank you, Dade. And let's just open up a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your work, your will, your word. Father, we pray you would plant this seed deep within our hearts, Lord, by your Spirit, for your cause, for your kingdom, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a while since I've been up here, been a while to see everybody on a Wednesday night like this, and I'm very excited to be here. Pastor Patrick asked me a couple hours ago if I'd be willing to step in, and I was delighted. You know, I've just been thinking a lot back on the past year, just in my walk with God and what he has shown me, and so tonight, there's just a practical word I wanted to give you guys and share with you. I found that through my walk this last year, there's been a lot of changes. And within those changes, some of them I expected, some of others I didn't. One of the unexpected changes I've had, this which is just recently, is that I acquired a cat. I know, right, right. And when I think about, you know, this cat, most people who've been around me a while, I know, think I'm heartless and I really don't like animals. And I told my children that I didn't want them feeding the cat, but what did they do? They fed the cat. It was wild. It was running the street. And I told Mary, please don't. And Mary is like, I asked her, why does the cat keep on coming around? Well, I fed it. So the reality is that it's not that I don't like cats. The reality is when I was 10, I lost a dog that I was very close to. And it hurt my feelings. And I felt sad and I felt grief for the first time as a little child. And anyway, it's taken me probably 20 years to actually share that story with all of you. Because, honestly, I feel like what God has showed me this last year is that I'm very guarded. I'm very guarded about who I am, what I do. And it's just something that we do naturally. Guard, right? Why do we guard? For many reasons. To feel safe. Right? Hurt people, we don't want to get hurt. Right? I know I may hurt people, but it's different when they hurt me. And, you know, just people in general, people lie to us. People, you know, you might even hear murmurings with your name and not quite sure what people are saying. And so these fears grab a hold of us. We kind of step into this, we make this, I don't know, a little bit of a castle wall around our lives. And God, as we're Christians, I think that the longer we walk, you know, somehow we feel that that our wall's less of a wall, that we decorate it with Christian ornaments. We kind of decorate it. It looks nice. Don't you want to come to my wall and visit with me? Look, I even got some food out on the front, you know, out on the drawbridge, all right? Don't mind the alligators in the canals below. And, you know, as God was speaking to me this year about being guarded and about how we are as Christians decorating our little castle walls, God shared something with me. He shared with me about vulnerability and what a strong tool, actually an unused, it's not unused, it's just lightly used in the tool belt of things that we can learn and glean from God as we grow as Christians in the sanctification process. Vulnerability has got to be one of the hardest things, yet probably one of the most powerful things you can do for your Christian walk. And it's hard for us to see. It's hard for us to see. It was hard for me to see. And honestly, it's hard to see, especially nowadays when everybody's guarded about everything. They got masks on. There's murder hornets out there. There's COVID out there. You know, I got to have this castle wall up. Everything's trying to come in. It's the apocalypse out there. All right? But you know, those are all distractions. Those are all things we get to point to while we decide not to be vulnerable with one another. Vulnerability, the definition of it, if you weren't sure, the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. Now, the problem with vulnerability is, guys, again, we are naturally guarded. So being guarded is the easiest thing to do, just dealing with people on a day-to-day basis. It's natural for us. So, you know, we get so good at it. It's not that we just do it. We're good at it. We're so good at it. I'm pretty much a master of being guarded. I think that especially when doing ministry over a long period of time, you know, people bump up against us. Even leaders might, you know, have hurt our feelings, or who knows? Who knows what excuses we've made for ourselves? But in the end, God has not called us to be fake. At least that's what he told me. But when confronted with people, it's just hard. So why can't we do it? Why can't we be real? Why can't we be real vulnerable? Right? Why can't we? With people all the time. Not just some of the time, just part of the time. Well, guys, I know that here in these circles, even in the small circles of Calvary Chapel, you know, we're just human. And that's just the reality is we're human. Not everybody's intentions are good. And so how do we, through all this stuff, through the COVID, through the judgment and the lies and the fear, how can we be authentic and open ourselves to the people around us? I'm very intrigued. How can I open myself more to the people around me? How can I stop with the walls and let them fall like Jericho? Like, how come I can't step on beyond that? And that's what I'm really curious about tonight. And that's really where we're going to start getting in our word tonight. Because Paul is a master of vulnerability. And he's going to show us the work God has done for him in this area. And it wasn't until after God started speaking to me about this word and about this topic that he showed me this verse, or these verses. Okay? So, guys, I just want you to remember this as we go into this. God can use the worst of you to make the best of you. And those walls, those are the worst of us. We think that we're trying to hide the worst of us, but the worst of us is the things that we build the walls with. And he wants to take those things, and he wants to make them beautiful. So 2 Corinthians, just a little context of this passage. Paul is writing to Corinth, not to correct him this time. This is actually a personal letter. This is a letter that he's just sharing his heart. And actually, in this chapter, he's just really trying to defend his apostleship, which is like he's trying to let them know he's authentic. He's the real deal. Like, for anybody who's having any questions, hey, you know, I'm with you. I love you. I'm here for you. And so with that concept, you know, this authenticity, Paul becomes vulnerable when faced with this dilemma of defending his apostleship. Not that it was one, but it's one that he, out of his own heart, wanted to share with the Corinthians. Paul shows us four ways, because the Lord gave me one more on the way over here. So there's four ways that vulnerability helps us. So these are four ways that are going to help us tear down these castle walls. A, vulnerability helps us have compassion. It helps us against comparison. It helps us to have courage, and it helps us to be teachable. A lot of those things, I mean, compassion sounds like fun as long as somebody's being compassionate to us. Comparison, nobody wants to talk about because, well, that's just uncomfortable. Courage, well, you know, am I not courageous enough to, you know, endure just my day-to-day with everything going on about? And teachable, who said I wasn't teachable? You know, these are all things I believe that, you know, if you were to get real and get vulnerable, we all struggle with. So 2 Corinthians 12:1 through 10, it says in verse 1, it says, "This boasting will do no good, but I will go on." And this is where Paul is telling his audience about his experience as he was caught up into heaven, and that he uses this in third person because he's like really trying to be humble about this whole situation. And he says, "But I must go on. I will reluctantly tell you about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago when I was in my body, I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I do not know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body, but I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no man is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weakness." So Paul, being surrendered to the Holy Spirit here, just tells us about how he was caught up into the third heaven, the glorious things that he saw, the work of God. Besides that, in his life, how he's seen God fingerprints on his life, he has seen and been near what God, the things, the unseen. He has seen the unseen. But then in 6, he says, "If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God." Is that not the truth for many of us? And you're like, "What do you, no, hold on. Where is this going, James? How is this true for many of us? Is it not true? Have we not seen God in our lives for us that have been walking? Have we not seen his fingerprint on our lives? Much like Paul, we can say God has really blessed us with tremendous ministry and tremendous opportunity and has let us see things, maybe even in our prayers, that other people, it's the unseen. He has shown even many of us pieces of the heavenlies as it moves through us, as he brings his kingdom here through us. So it is, but, he says, "So to keep me from becoming proud," here he says, "I am given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away." Now, there's a lot of different teachings I've heard on this passage. And all of them that I've heard, I've agreed with most of them. But in this right here, what God showed me this time I read through this passage is that there's this issue of God working in us and showing himself to us. And we love to talk about it, and we like to show it on our walls, but we don't want to talk about the thorn in our flesh. We don't want to be vulnerable with one another. We don't want to. And here Paul is the perfect example. He is showing us how to open his heart to God's people. It was the Holy Spirit who allowed him to say, I mean, he could have just been Paul. He is defending his his authority of discipleship. And he could have just passed that on by and just made in history books, he could have just looked so good. We'd be all that Paul. He was there's never anything wrong with him. But you know, yet he's totally vulnerable. He tells his audience, "I have a thorn in my flesh from Satan to keep me humble." The problem is we have thorns in our flesh, but we don't want to be humble because we're not being vulnerable. We won't. We'll hide it. We'll isolate it. We'll put it away. I mean, I can't even tell you. There's people I've been going to church here for 11 years with, and, you know, it's still hard sometimes to be vulnerable. And I'll be even more honest. There's people that I've never been vulnerable with. And, you know, this is not because I'm following Paul's example. But I desire, after reading this and after God convicting my heart, yes, I would like to follow this example. Show me how, Lord. And so he says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away, you know. That's crazy. He's begging the Lord and he's crying out to the Lord. And that is the truth, is if we would just cry out to the Lord in our infirmity, if we would just cry out instead of trying to hide it, instead of trying to, you know, bear with it and just take the burden of it, if we would just cry out to the Lord so he could show us how to use it, to be vulnerable with it, we would be stronger individually as worshipers of God and stronger corporately as worshipers of God and as the church. So, guys, he wants to share this far greater way of vulnerability with us. Paul really wanted us to get this. The reality is that Paul is not just teaching an important lesson on something we struggle with, or to try to put it in a box and put it away for another time. Paul is pointing to a not frequently used tool in God's toolkit, as I mentioned before. This tool is to be used in order to help love God, love us, and love others with greater capacity. So, how safe we feel when we have our wall up around us, you know. Oh man, it's nice. Oh, the control issues of the saints. And I think about that, and as Paul surrenders to his, you know, he surrenders with his frailty to his audience, within the greatness of his calling, we see the words of the Spirit pour out when humbly realizing his true condition of being a man, and then God speaks through him, powerfully, mightily. And this is what God says. Each time God said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness, so now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Instead of being guarded and defensive because of accusation, he might need to defend his authenticity, right? Well, he tells them that he is weak and has hardships and needs God's strength in order that his weakness is God's strength. Wow. When was the last time you opened up? When was the last time I opened up to somebody and just says, "Man, I am so weak. I just need God's strength." You know, the biggest thing that I see in just Christian circles, period, whether it's at my job where I'm trying to lead godly men into, you know, ministering to at-risk youth, or here at the church, or out there when I'm visiting with other brothers and sisters, is, you know, when you say, "Hey, how can I pray for you?" You know, nothing specific. Just pray for me. How are we going to love each other? How are we going to be vulnerable with each other? How are we going to share one another? You know, share ourselves with one another and be one. And Paul is trying to show us how to do that. So, you know, There's more. There's a beauty in vulnerability that believers try to cast aside and rob themselves of the true potential of God's work in your life. You can be weak because he is strong. You are strong because he empowers you despite your weakness. There is nothing to hide here because you are exposed under the great light of Christ. What you're trying to hide from others, it's pointless. It's pointless. God already sees you. Be healed of it. Be forgiven of it and be healed of it. And let people come alongside you. Let people come and love you. Let your church do its job. And I think about it, and God is just like hitting me. These are the things that the Holy Spirit's telling me. What are you doing, James? Who are you letting in? And so, therefore, you know, okay, God, all right, what do you got? So, God accepts us just as we are. And for the world to see Jesus in us, we must give in and tear down this guarded, worldly, learned behavior, behavior, and become vulnerable and be real. If we do this, the social barriers will be crushed to ash when coming into contact with the power of God. What people think of you and your struggle, whether they are accusatory towards you or not, will no longer matter. It won't matter. We must be vulnerable about our own inadequacy in order that we can truly speak into people's lives. When we give into being vulnerable, we will be real about ourselves, but more important, we can finally be real about what He has done for us, what God has done for us. Then we can be of use. Then we will be a tool to be reckoned with. We need to reveal our weakness so people can approach us in this way, guys. We need to be approachable to see that there are great benefits to a surrendered lifestyle, a struggling lifestyle, and a vulnerable lifestyle where there are people that are truly authentic. It allows us to have a greater connection with God and people. This is all just, it's not for naught. Let's talk about some more specific benefits. And actually the tools of that vulnerability gives. Let's go a little further. Again, remember, it helps us to have courage to step out. We need to go first. It helps us have compassion. It helps us have courage. How does it help us have compassion? It's so we can meet people where they're at. If you're not vulnerable, you can't meet people where they're at. You're going to be too busy being guarded. It helps us, you know, against comparison, realizing we're all the same. Instead of trying to weigh out if he's more holy than I am, or if I'm more holy than he is, or who's more holy than what. And that courage piece, it's so important, you know, to have courage, because isn't that the hard part, even in a group when you're sitting doing a Bible study? Isn't that hard to be the first to go sometimes? Or the first to pray? Are the first to be open, like to truly say, yeah, like this happened to me. It was pretty brutal. But it always pays off when you do, because somebody always comes up to you. Oh man, like you too? Like, and then God uses it to make connections, to make something deeper. And it's so beautiful when you see those things, you know, when you're confronting people and give in to vulnerability, there is a false thought that lingers, guys. It's going to always be there. A false dichotomy, two things that are represented and being opposed, right? There's going to be these things that you're going to have these two things in your mind, and you're going to be measuring them out. You know, it's going to keep you, you know, I don't know, you know, this guy's going to judge me, or this guy is going to do, you know, whatever to me, or I shouldn't be speaking because I'm in sin right now. And so we feel like we're caught between a hard rock and a hard place and being vulnerable, and we don't have the courage to do it. But if we just trust in the Lord and just be open, have the courage to be open, man, you will see things unravel. You will see God's reality just manifest before you. And that means you might have to listen. You know, after, you know, you share, like, then you can just sit and listen to somebody and let them be vulnerable back. But you'll have to go first. And it's okay. It's okay to be that person. It's okay to have courage, especially when you have the Lord, knowing He's going to meet you in that weakness to be strong. So, guys, we can't spend our time worrying about what people think of our weakness when we're surrendered to the Lord and being vulnerable to the Lord, and that's just the bottom line. He wants to touch people's lives through how He made us so that when we expose ourselves and are vulnerable again, people see Him. People see Him. They don't see us. They see Him. How cool is that? Don't you want the people around you to see Him? What are we waiting for? And that's what he asked me. What are you waiting for, James? And I found myself crying in the middle of a floor talking to a man in New Jersey that I barely knew. It is what it is. But, you know, this is his call to us. It allows us to go first when we have courage. We need to go first. We need to speak in love. Listen and go first. And when you have courage to do that, we can step out in compassion then. Finally, we can do that. We can, so we have this connection. You know, and so you're listening, you're being compassionate. That just wells up. It's a natural thing that when God's love starts pouring out of you. And Paul realized that he received great compassion from God. He knew that. He knew that. He knew as well as anyone he did. And that authenticity of what his realization was and what our realization should be, that authenticity of knowing helps us have compassion to, you know, which, because we know that we're the recipients of great compassion. Paul realized that Jesus was real, he was authentic, Jesus was vulnerable to do what he was sent out by the Father to do. Christ allowed himself to be weak in order to be a perfect sacrifice so we could experience compassion instead of eternal separation from all that is good. And if he is the baseline, then that's who I want to be. And Paul just shows this again. He just, in Paul not being perfect like Christ, but Paul shows this again in his weakness. It's hard to connect with people where there is no compassion when you have your beautiful Christian walls up. So, when we meet people with the compassion of Christ, it will be the start of a new connection. You'll get that listening ear. You know, just look out for, just be non-judgmental. I don't care what comes out of their mouth. Just don't look surprised. Don't. You know, I work with kids. They tell me things that shock me. I could fall out the back of my chair. And you know what I do? I just, okay, interesting. Because I want to love them. I don't want them to feel like they're so far out that they can't be saved, that they're so far out that they can't be helped. I want them to know that we are in this together. And so we have to have non-judgmental words and thoughts and heart. And that's showing compassion. The listening ear is compassionate. A person that is safe to talk to empathize, and to help problem solve with. Isn't that who you want to be? Isn't that who Jesus is to us? And I want to be that person, guys. I do. And so I see this again. And even as God's word tells us to do all, you know, as he's showing us what vulnerability brings when we're compassionate, it's also being an encourager. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. You know, being that encourager, not being that person to one-up that person, whoever, whatever they're telling you. Oh, well, I know about that. Nobody wants to hear that. Go ahead, get behind your wall again. Right? It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Well, how can you build somebody else up if you're behind your wall? How can you do that? You can't. To weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Ah, that's compassion. You know what I found out about myself? Is I like to weep with people who weep but I don't like to rejoice with people who rejoice. Isn't that horrible? You want to know why? I bet you want to know why. Because I'm a sinner. But I'm being very vulnerable with you right now. It's because I've become so hardened to ministry sometimes that I just know it's going to end up in weeping again. Isn't that a horrible lie of the enemy to come in and rob and steal from his children? And so, I won't do it anymore. I will rejoice with my brothers. I will rejoice with my sisters. I will praise hallelujah. And I will be truly happy and truly joyous and truly compassionate. And I will truly be there with them in the moment. I will stop thinking about myself. I will stop being selfish. And I will not close the door on my drawbridge. I will step out and greet my brother and sister and fall to my knees and weep and rejoice. Or whatever they need me to do, that is where we will meet. And that's who we need to be. We must open up. We must be compassionate enough to take a chance. And if we can do that, and if we will do that, we can begin to stop looking at each other and sizing each other up. We can stop comparing one another. If we can weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice, and it doesn't matter who comes to our gateway, and we can meet them there, our brothers and sisters, the sinner, the saint, whoever it is, if we can meet them there, we will stop comparing because we are all the same at the cross. And Paul realized, Paul understood that. Paul is, the Corinthians were pagans that found the Lord, and they were like so bad, and yet God did such a great work, and it was because Paul was vulnerable and met them where they were at. He realized he was just as depraved as they were. And it's such a beautiful story. That he's being so intimate with them, that this wasn't one of his little letters, his letters of, you know, out of his own heart to make sure they don't wander or stray. This was a letter to be vulnerable about, hey, we're all the same in Christ Jesus. And what a wonderful work he's doing in us and that he's trying to do with us. But let's be humble. Let's be vulnerable. Let's be authentic. So what trouble we have is seeing people as we see, you know, like we see people as we see them, which is the problem. We need to see them as God sees them so we can stop comparing. That makes sense, right? So this comparison, Paul was not judging or comparing that he was better than the I'm sorry, this wasn't the Corinthians, this is the Galatians. I apologize. Or no, it was the Corinthians. Why do I have, I don't know. Yeah. Sorry, I was getting mixed up there. So I did say 1 Corinthians 12, right? 2 Corinthians 12, thank you. Okay, just got a little lost. Forgive me. So this comparison, if we're vulnerable enough to show compassion where people are at, we will realize that there's nothing to compare, and that really, as different as we all are, we're probably more alike than anyone would like to admit. Okay? So, stop comparing, be vulnerable, get to know people, expose your weakness, let God be strong in it, and watch Him do His work. Watch Him be the great equalizer. Watch Him be the great lover of man that He is, the great lover of our soul that He is. So through this process of courage, compassion, and of course, getting rid of that killing comparison, you will find yourself teachable and open. And that's what God taught me on the way here. He was showing me that on the way here because I had the nice CCC, you know. And then he's like, nope. He's like, too bad. And I didn't have enough time to think of, you know, competent or whatever, I don't know. But, this is the reality, is through vulnerability, he teaches us about us. He teaches us about us. We get to have self-awareness about us because we're being real about our situation and who we are, sinners saved by grace, right? We're being real with ourselves. And so we get to love us. We get to let God love us the way he needs to. And then we get to love other people the way he wants us to. And we get to worship him in a more pure light. And I think that's wonderful that he gives us that. And here's some other cool things that he could do if you want to be teachable while you're being vulnerable. Check this out. He'll help you learn to trust in his work in our life, especially if we're feeling stagnant and we want to move again. Vulnerability, oh yeah, that's the tool to pick up. That'll get you going. That'll get you to an uncomfortable place fast, and he will work and use it. Because when you decide to get real or be vulnerable, you will learn also, guess, this is really cool. You're going to learn that you're not alone. How neat is that? Would you like not to be alone? I know that I don't want to be alone. And God made many of us so we wouldn't have to be. Three, it will help you learn to accept yourself. You won't have to look for acceptance. You can have it in the Lord. Novel idea, right? Wow. Be teachable. And you can learn to appreciate our uniqueness, as weird and grotesque as we might think. He will turn it into beauty. You will also learn to make peace with traumatic past experiences. It has a healing property because you can bring dark things into the light. Wow, vulnerability. Why don't we talk about this more? You know, it's just something we just like, it's cool that it's on the tool belt. It can stay there for now. I'm not ready. Right? So when someone shares something hard and is being vulnerable, guys, especially, like, if you see, now that we had this word and you guys go out to try to experiment this, all right? Be kind if you're not, you know, if you choose not to do this. If somebody shares with you, share back. It's okay. Just share back. Let them embrace you. Be a cry. Show your emotion. Show who you are. There's no shame. Like I said, it's under the light of Jesus Christ. He sees it all. We're his children. Can we not be open? Can we not be just broken together? Paul said he is. Let them know that they are not alone. That there are a bunch of fake hurting people in the church. And guess what, guys? I'm one of them. And God's calling us out. It's okay. The first part of this challenge is to realize who we truly are. I'll say it one last time. Sinner saved by grace. Simple. Embrace it. It's okay. And then when we realize that we can, we get to step out in courage to be compassionate, that you might disarm comparison so that you can learn about God, others, and yourself, right? Vulnerability is an action of obedience that empowers the Holy Spirit to create an active work in you and through you. And when you leave tonight and step out onto the mission field, remember, God has not called us to be guarded, but God has called you to vulnerability. God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for your kindness, your vulnerability towards us, that you have exposed yourself, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, let us feel the weight of your love, of your forgiveness, of your grace and mercy, Lord, that we might have a heart change, that we would ask you to tear down these walls of guardedness, of feeling we're going to get hurt, or the fear that the enemy, the lies that have been set up to keep us from being who we need to be to one another, to love one another the way you want, Lord. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit just move in, Lord, and just tear down walls, tear them to ash, Lord, that we might come and embrace one another. But most importantly, that we can embrace you, embrace your Son, embrace the salvation that you have given us, Lord. The kingdom is here, Lord. Thank you for that. I lift my brothers and sisters up to you tonight, Lord. I pray that you would just be gentle to them, Lord. And Father, that you would remind them of that tool of vulnerability on your tool belt, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.